The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal. At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to District Baseball. Trade deadline season is upon us, just a week away by the time this is releasing. So we figured no better time than to talk trade deadline, hypothesize, predict, call our shot on all the major trades that are going around, who could get dealt, who's staying put, what teams are buying, what teams are selling. We're going to get into it all tonight. But first, Trey, what's going on?
You know, nothing much. You know, there's some good games today. I don't think anything else really happened in the world on today, July 21st, Sunday, 2024.
Yeah.
Pretty sure nothing else interesting happened.
Castellanos homered. Has nothing to do with happened today. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was just a coincidence.
Just a random home run. His 14th or 15th of the year.
Yeah.
No significance.
But, you know, yeah. Other than that, you know, just been some good baseball coming back from the break. Obviously, the home run derby and the all-star break happened. And now we are back with these weekend series. But yeah, it is trade deadline season. It's time to get into all of these teams, talk about what each team might be looking to do. And I think we're going to start it with a little buy or sell segment. We have not, this is a surprise segment. We're going to be giving each other our fresh picks. We have not told each other what we're going with here, although I'm assuming we'll have a lot of the same picks as usual. But we're going to go through any team that's kind of like in the realm of the wild card race, like teams that aren't winning the division, teams that aren't guaranteed, quote unquote, to make it, although a lot of these teams will make it. You want to start with the American League, Nick?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's start in the AL East, because I think it's a really fun division. In general, because theoretically all these teams could be competing, but I think that the bottom three right now, the Red Sox, Rays, and Blue Jays, are the only ones that are kind of questioning. We kind of know the Yankees and O's are going for it. How about the Red Sox, Nick? What do you got them doing at the deadline?
At this point, it's kind of hard to see them selling. I'm of the opinion that Alex Cora is a top five manager in baseball.
He's done well this year.
He's closer to one or closer to five, I don't really care. He's a good manager. He's a really, really good manager. He's proven that. Nobody had these kinds of expectations for the Red Sox this year. Every kind of major outlet had them around a 500 team, maybe slightly above, slightly below. And, you know, there's a ton of season left. They're only nine games above 500, which, you know, is not a lot in the grand scheme of things. So they could, you know, struggle down the stretch and end up a 500 team. But right now, since we're talking trade deadline, they're in a prime position. I don't see them selling, but at the same time, I don't see them making any huge swings either. Am I allowed to just kind of like cop out and say they stand put? Cause I don't think they buy or sell.
I think that's fair. Cause some of these teams I have listed as like buy or sell, but I will probably have a caveat, like I don't know how aggressive they'll be,
right?
So I can
maybe bullpen arm or something of that nature, nothing that really moves the needle.
I am actually thinking they are gonna buy. I think that the team has forced their hand, and I read that their GM kind of hinted at being somewhat aggressive. Now we all know GMs say things all the time, and they don't.
Juan Soto's not being traded.
Yeah, so we as Nats fans know that. So that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I think the team has just, they've performed so well that they've kind of forced the team to be like, the GM, the owners be like, okay, we kind of have to at least give them something. I don't know. Again, like you said, I don't know how aggressive they'll be necessarily, but they're definitely not going to sell here. Yeah. At least in my opinion.
Agreed. Jansen. I'm trying to think what other 1 year deals they have.
I think O'Neal as well.
O'Neal. That's a good one. They're staying put.
Yeah. I think those, if they were going to try and sell, those would be the guys.
Yeah.
But I don't think they will. I think they're going to try and make the playoffs here.
Agreed.
So the next would be the Rays. They're in fourth place right now. They're around 500 at the moment. And, you know, the Rays, they're going to sell. I think they're going to sell because they're the Rays and that's what they do. They're going to try and get prospects, specifically pitchers probably, because they've had a little bit of trouble with their pitching staff this year.
Not just a little bit.
Like, yeah, but
everyone's hurt.
Yeah, everyone's hurt. And also they haven't had the same, you know, the guy that they claim off waivers that they turn into a beast. They haven't had that this year. It just hasn't quite happened for them. So they've got some guys that do have some trade value and are getting, having, you know, good stretches right about now in terms of like Randy Rosarena, Isak Paredes are having good stretches. Yandy Diaz is hurt, but he's probably also there. So I'm thinking they're going to sell some of those pieces and try and regroup, because this is just a tough division. They have to go through the Boston and potentially Baltimore to make the playoffs. Which I don't see that happening, even if they were to buy. So I'm pretty sure they're going to sell here.
Yeah, this one's a tough one. Because, like, if you look at a Rosarena, you look at Paredes, they both have control. And they're both, like, you can... I mean, Paredes is younger. I don't know exactly off the top of my head how old a Rosarena is. I know he's not, like, super old. It kind of feels like the Rays, it would just behoove them just to like run it back next year when everyone's healthy, if that makes sense. So it's like, they're on paper, they're good because they're above 500. They're only a couple games back of the wild card spot, but you dig a little bit deeper, they have like a negative 53 run differential, whereas teams behind them, like the Rangers, have like a negative -3. Right? So it's just like, there's a little bit of luck, a little bit of flukiness that just happens in baseball, you know, year after year with certain teams. And, you know, the Rays have historically been built on their pitching. They're not this year just because of the injuries and, you know, all the things you've mentioned. So I think they will sell partially. Like, I don't know what expiring deals they may have, but guys like a Rosarena, Paredes, I don't see them being moved personally, because I don't, you know, it's not like a Blake Snell situation where you're selling high. Right. Rosarena, Paredes are having good years, but you're not going to get like a farm changing return. So I think it almost benefits the Rays to just kind of see how this year plays out. If you end up with like a top draft pick in the lottery next year or wherever they end up, cool. If you make the playoffs, cool. Like, it's kind of just one of this weird in between spots where I think they want to sell, but I don't think the pieces that would get a good return, they want to sell.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that they should sell those guys. I would kind of agree with you, like, sell like the smaller pieces and get ready to run it back next year. They just don't ever go that big in free agency, and the one time they did backfired massively. So
hey, it wasn't free agency, so maybe they offered Aaron Judge $300 million, so who knows.
That's true, they did do that came out recently as well. So yeah, because I'd agree, if they were gonna be a team that also was gonna sign some guys to bolster them again, I'd say yeah, you know, keep a Rosarena, keep Paredes, obviously, because they've got multiple years of control. I just don't know if they would want to do that, so they might just say screw it, the division's too good right now, let's try and, you know, regroup for the next, like, in 3 years instead, maybe the division won't be as good.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I am with you, I don't think that they should sell aggressively, but they might do it.
Yeah.
And next we have the Blue Jays, who I've got them as a seller, but they don't have like that much to sell. No, really. I mean, they have like Yusei Kikuchi has struggled recently, but he's had a good start. He'll be like a depth starter, so someone will probably give up something for him. And then Danny Jansen is on an expiring deal, and he's had a solid year, so he'll probably get some, he can hit lefties as well. And a lot of teams are in need of that.
Yeah.
But I'm not, yeah, because I was thinking earlier in the year, I was like, is Bichette going to be gone? But he's injured and also has been awful. So there's not even really a point to try and move him. He doesn't have much value. The only guy that would really have immense value is Vladdy, but I would anticipate them getting an extension done with him.
I can't see it. Yeah.
He'll probably be the guy that they do pay. I would not anticipate. They're not going to be aggressive, but they won't. They're not buyers. That's for sure. They can't. There's no way I don't think there's any way they could make the playoffs now.
Yeah. This one's an easy sell, but I think the Vladdy Bobichette rumors, like, they'll listen, as most teams do. And, you know, it's kind of just like you're doing your due diligence, but I don't see them moving either of those guys. Your Jansons, your Kikuchis, like, yeah, they'll probably get moved. Maybe if you can convince someone to take on Bassett, clear some space, you get like a year and a half of control. That might work, but I don't see them making the big fire sale that I think a lot of pundits are expecting.
Yeah, it was on. That was on my radar like a month and a half ago.
It was.
They could move one of those guys, but it doesn't seem like. Yeah, because Vladdy's been too good. You got to try to get an extension done with him.
Yeah.
I think because you've kind of selected him as, if you're the Blue Jays, you selected him as your guy from this era.
Yeah.
He has probably selling, buzz, but not super aggressive because they don't really have that many assets.
Yep.
And then next we go to the AL Central, which has been really, really good, considering where we thought that they would be.
Really good, and the White Sox.
and then the White Sox dragging the whole average down. But at the end of the day, we've got some competing teams. The Royals, I think, have already showed their hand here. I'm pretty sure they're going to be buyers. They've already traded for Hunter Harvey from the Nats. They did their work in free agency to build a strong pitching rotation. Seth Lugo again went a complete game today. So what? I mean, their free agent signings on that pitching staff worked out very well.
Yeah, the Bobby Witt extension looks like a team friendly deal right now.
I know, and that's a ton of money when you look at. But man, he is going off. Yeah. Their problem is that they don't have a good farm system. So they were able to get Harvey, but I mean, I would say that they probably slightly overpaid for Harvey, and that was. Not even a closer, you know, so
it's probably they gave up the draft pick, just because even though you would draft a prospect, you're not like hurting your farm system.
Yeah. You're not giving up a guy. You're giving up an imaginary someone player.
You put the work, the time and effort to develop like that. That wasn't the case. Yeah. Whereas on the Nats side, obviously we're biased because we're Nats fans. Like, you got to get a guy you want and develop him the way you want to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it just worked out for both sides, I think.
Yeah, and Harvey's underlying statistics is the reason that they picked him up. They think that they can get him back to where he was.
And I kind of believe pre-June. That they will.
I think the bigger issue, I mean, we don't need to ramble about that, but obviously he was pitching a lot at a time, so they'll probably ramp him back, or bring him back down, and he should be fine there. So I think that they'll buy. I just don't know how they'll be able to do it, but clearly they want to run at the wild card here. And that division's still not done. I mean, the Guardians went through a little bit of a rough patch. They're still kind of in it right now. So the Twins and Royals, who we'll get to the Twins in a second, are pretty much right there. But I think you're kind of in agreement with here with the Royals that they're going to buy. But will they do it?
The Guardians were getting no hit for a while by Michael King today. So
Yeah. I think they did end up losing as well.
They did.
So they've struggled. They went through a stretch against the Tigers where they didn't play so well. They haven't played well against the White Sox. They have like a losing record against the White Sox, oddly enough. So wild. The Twins and Royals are still in this for the division.
It's wild that at the end of it all, we could see three playoff teams from the AL Central.
That's
nuts.
Absolutely nuts. Crazy.
Yeah.
So the Twins next, they're in second place right now. I think they're like three and a half back, something like that. So they're right in that for the division. And I think that, again, we have another buyer here for the Twins because they kind of have to with what their record is. I think that they currently own a wild card spot.
Yep, second place in the wild card.
Yeah, they should be somewhat aggressive here trying to get just more depth, really, just because they have so many guys on their team that seem to get hurt all the time. So and obviously starting pitching, but that's kind of for everybody.
Yeah, everyone needs pitching this time of year, so.
Yeah, so are you? You're with me there on the Twins as well.
Yeah, they're certainly not sellers. I just don't know how aggressive they're going to be.
Yeah, it's the same. It's them and the, because again, we weren't. I guess people were down on the Twins. To be fair, I was up on the Twins. So
yeah, you were. I was down on the Twins. With the Royals, I think they want to buy. They just don't have the means to buy. Whereas with the Twins, I don't think they really want to buy.
I'm not sure how much they want to do. I think that they think they're good right now, and they think that they're going to make the playoffs, which they still could, even if they stay put. Yeah.
Yeah. Their pitching's not great.
That's the one thing I do hope they address and try to get it, at least one solid starter down the stretch, because they definitely need it. Their offense has been pretty good.
Interest you in a gently used Patrick Corbin.
I don't think anybody is interested in a gently used Patrick Corbin.
Hey, he went quality start, best start of the year the other day. So,
yeah, good for him. anyways, I wonder why. Did anything happen significant?
Yeah, I know.
Right? Anyways, then we got the Detroit Tigers. Now,
this one's an interesting
49 and 51, I think. And I think coming into this season, if you told me that the Tigers were right here where they are at their record, I'd say they might buy, because then the division would be up for grabs. Now, obviously, the Guardians, Twins, and Royals have all overperformed.
Yeah.
So that kind of puts the Tigers in a weird spot. I'm going to say they're going to sell, but I like this team going forward.
I agree. I think they should sell everyone not named Scooble. And that's just my overarching point.
Yeah, Scooble, we already mentioned Scooble shouldn't. I don't even understand where that came from. Like, he's got 4 years of control. He needs to stay there.
It's a completely different thing from the White Sox and Garrett Crochet. The White Sox are terrible. Mm-hmm. They don't have anyone really penciled in as a foundational piece. Not that Crochet can't, but you know, his timeline in terms of team control doesn't necessarily match up with the White Sox and when they're going to be competitive again. That's more so what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So, like, the White Sox selling Crochet makes sense. Tigers trading Scooble makes no sense.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. Going forward, like, I do like this team, but I think it's a next year thing.
Yeah.
You know, like the Spencer Torkelson, like, I think everyone in Detroit's realizing that's just a bust. You know, Javi Baez, certainly a bust of a contract. Like, you have some good pieces there. AJ Hinch, another great manager in baseball, done a great job. You hit on like a flyer and like Jack Flaherty. I think you need to move him. And just, you know, take one more year to sell. And then I think next year is your year, but especially with the division, the way it is, you're in fourth place right now. You're only two games under 500, but you're in fourth place. You kind of just be like, all right, if everyone's going to zig, we got to zag, and then we'll be set up well for the future.
Yeah. I think this off season, they should probably get aggressive in free agency, because I feel like they're right on the edge. There's a couple teams in the mix in both leagues that are just right, maybe just a little early, like maybe just a bit. Like, we'll probably get to the Pirates later as well, who have played really well, but are they just 1 year early? Maybe. Moving on to the AL West, this is an interesting, very interesting division. The Mariners had a division lead for a while, and then they have gone on a 5-game losing streak and have completely lost it. And the Astros have retaken that.
Yeah, shocker. Year when the Astros were like 12 games under 500, I think both you and I were like, yeah, we're not panicking.
We were kind of like,
here we are.
I was starting to get a little worried still weren't getting there, but yeah, they figured it out now. So yeah, they're going to buy, believe it or not. I think they were going to buy regardless of anything that happened, just because they're in dynasty mode and they want to freaking win all the time. So I feel like they're going to buy. The Mariners need to buy, because they're not at their 54% threshold.
I was just about to say, you don't want to know what their win percentage. Yeah, their win percentage is right now. I mean, if you round up, it's 53.
So. I mean, DePoto,
yeah.
Come on, man. I mean, you're not quite there. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, they have every part of a pitching staff that you want for a contender, like every single aspect of it. They just don't have any bats right now. Julio Rodriguez hasn't been that guy. Now he's heating up a little bit. He's got to be that guy down the stretch for them, regardless of trades, regardless of anything. But they still need to bring in some outside help to help here with the bats, and maybe trade one of their young pitchers to do so, because they have, I mean, they have six quality starters probably. I don't know. I think Wu might be injured at the moment. Emerson Hancock is that sixth guy. He's been like, eh, but he's like a young guy. He's got a lot of control, so another prospect. And then obviously you got their main four. So they've got every piece that you want. You just need a bat. You need to hit. You got to score runs. They've really struggled to do that recently, especially.
Yeah.
So yeah, what are you thinking about the Mariners?
If the Mariners are smart, they will swing for the fences. I
Okay.
don't know
Yes.
what Luis Robert probably is the biggest bat available on the trade market. We're going to talk about specific targets later on in the show. They need to swing for the fences, because if you're looking at it just in context of the American League, they have the second fewest runs scored in the entire American League, only ahead of the White Sox. They're behind the Angels. They're behind the A's. They're behind, the Blue Jays, whose offense has been terrible. They're behind the Rays, whose offense has been, pretty terrible. Like they're so bad offensively, but they also have the fewest runs allowed in I actually might be baseball, but certainly in the American League. I
Yeah.
think they're second to the Braves. The Braves only are the only team with fewer, but still, like, this team's ready to go. They just need to jolt. Like, Julio Rodriguez got injured today. He left the game early. Hopefully
Oh,
it's
he
not too
did. I missed
serious.
that.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too serious. But like, this team needs life. This team needs a jolt in their lineup. Like, I don't know what their farm system looks like. I'm not gonna pretend to say like they're set up well, but at the same time, go trade for three bats. Like, clearly your offense isn't working. Like, go trade for an outfielder, trade for like a DH type, trade for whatever you possibly need. Because, like you said, this pitching staff's ready to go. That bullpen is ready to go. Like, you gotta do something. You gotta do something. If you don't want to pay guys, whatever, you can trade for guys though. Like, trade
Which
for
they
guys
love
and raise
doing.
them. Yeah, go trade for someone and maximize this pitching staff while they're performing well and while they're all under contract.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you, because for them, it's a get in. Just get in the playoffs, because that staff is
It can
so
take
good.
over, but you need the bats to
You need,
support it.
yeah, you just need to get there. And right now, their offense is so bad that they might not even get there. So, yeah, they
Right.
got to do something there. And then the Rangers are another team in an interesting position. I have them as sellers, but like, yeah, I don't know, because they have a lot of guys coming back from injury. Jacob deGrom, Cody Bradford,
Scherzer
and
just came back.
Scherzer just also got hurt again,
Oh, did
unfortunately.
he? I didn't see
Well, yeah,
that.
he's day to day. He had like an
Okay.
arm, he had like dead arm thing that he's been having for the past few years. But then they
All being
also are getting
40.
Tyler Mahle as well, as will join that rotation. So you're getting these guys back from injury, but just where they are record wise, I mean, the division is technically available, but I think the Astros probably are too far away from the Rangers at this point. And Astros seem to be getting better.
Yeah,
I
two teams
would.
go in opposite directions.
If, yeah, if I'm the Rangers, I'm selling this year and reloading for next year.
Yep.
But I don't know. They might feel like, because they're defending champs, they need to go. But they have guys that are under contract for a long time, so I don't think that this year specifically, like, they have to win, especially because they won last year as well. So that probably helps soften the blow if they end up selling.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's probably the opposite, where they have a really good understanding of what their team is right now. Like, they understood last year, they just need to get hot at the right time, and that could happen this year. They certainly have the pieces in place. Like, it's not a drastically different team from last year's World Series winning team. But that being said, like, it's a lot of injuries, a lot of underperformance. Your division, you're in third place right now, and last year they all three teams kind of finished neck and neck and came down to like game 160 to 162. So it could happen again, but I think what is working for or against the Rangers, depending on your perspective, guys like Kirby Yates and Michael Lorenzen, like, you weren't really expecting a whole lot from, and they're overperforming. So it's like, you're not going to get that production from them next year. I mean, they're not even under contract next year, but like, you're not, you have to capitalize on their values, basically what I'm trying to say. So if you're already trading those two, it's like, all right, you might as well just sell what expiring contracts you have. And then when the guys do come back, like, maybe you still have enough to make a run and sneak your way into the playoffs. And like, you don't have to tank the season, because they're only 5 games under 500. Like, crazier things have happened. So I think they sell within reason, and like you said, just kind of reload the farm a little bit. You know, they traded away one or two top 100 prospects last year, you know, reload the farm a little bit, and then, you know, they still have a ton of guys under contract for next year. They can give it a push next year.
Yep, I'm with you there. And headed to the National League in the NL East, we have the Braves. The Braves are, I think, going to buy, but how aggressive will they be again? It's kind of another one of these situations. They're not having a great season in terms of, you know, the Braves' expectations. They were obviously one of the best offensive teams literally ever last year, and that has completely fallen off a cliff. Obviously losing Acuna hurt, but he wasn't having a great season anyways. Matt Olson's having a terrible year. Austin Riley's just now starting to get it going. And pretty much the only big home run guy this year for them is that guy who I'm not going to talk about. So they definitely need some offense. They got some yesterday from Eddie Rosario, of course, like we said was going to happen in April.
Yeah, just like everyone predicted.
It's so annoying. But, you know, can they really expect, you know, him and Adam Duvall to have another run like they had? I wouldn't anticipate that. So looking at them, they definitely need a bat. But what I don't know how aggressive they'll be, because they just haven't played that well this year, and Acuña is hurt. I mean, I know that last time Acuña was hurt, they won the whole thing. So maybe they'll be thinking about that, but that's pretty unlikely to happen twice, I would say.
The thing with the Braves, though, is like they have the pieces even still, you know, with Sale and Freed. I think Freed got banged up again. I could be wrong. You know, they have the pieces to still go. It's just the offense. And on paper, there's no openings per se. I mean, you could definitely easily replace someone in the outfield. But that being said, they just lost Ozzie Albies for 8 weeks. So it's like, I don't know what kind of second baseman, like maybe a Jazz.
That could, or Jonathan India, if they wanted to go big time, but I don't know if they'll want to do that.
Yeah, so it's like you could, but Ozzie Albies will probably be back before the season ends, right?
Yeah.
So I think they will buy an outfielder, but it won't be a Luis Robert. Ironically, I think like a Lane Thomas would make a lot of sense for them. I don't see that trade happening within division, but it could.
Yeah, that does fit. He actually had, there is fits for Lane everywhere.
Everywhere.
Hope that they actually move him.
But. So yeah, they'll buy, but it's going to be very similar to how they bought in their World Series winning year. Granted, I don't think they trade for three outfielders like they did that year, but they'll trade for at least one, because Kelnick's doing fine and Michael Harris is like their center fielder, so they'll probably just try to replace Duvall, who's been terrible, and then, you know, go from there.
Yep. And then I think the Mets are an extremely interesting team at this deadline. I think coming into the season, their plan was to be sellers at this deadline. They didn't really go too crazy in free agency. They bought guys with one-year deals like JD Martinez, for example, who I'm assuming they will move. But how aggressive will they be? Because they've got Pete Alonso, and he's a big piece for them if they trade him or if they keep him. If they keep him, obviously, he's big time for them down the stretch, trying to make the playoffs. I think right now they're tied for or in a playoff spot. So when you look at that, you're like, maybe they should buy, but I don't think that was the goal coming into this season for them.
Right.
I think that they could sell some of these pieces and still compete. But if they want, they could also be super aggressive and sell Pete Alonso and trade him and try to get, you know, really bolster the farm system, which they've already kind of built back up a little bit with some of their moves last year. They already have a bunch of guys in the top 100. So they could absolutely, they have options. They have plenty of options here, which is what you want as a franchise, obviously. I think it would be business smart to sell, but I don't know if they will sell that aggressively, or they could buy if they want to. They have pretty much anything they want to do.
So like last year when they sold, they said 2025 was the realistic timeline, which, you know, kind of alluded to what you're saying. Like, I don't think they intended to buy this year, and I still don't think they will. It's just a matter of, do they stay put or do they sell? I tend to think they stay put. They could sell. I think their pitching is slightly overrated. They've had like Luis Severino, really good bounce back campaign. Jose Quintana, good bounce back campaign. Guys like that they easily could move. JD Martinez, you know, I Pete Alonso's the big one. I don't think they go that far if they do sell. They could, but I don't see them. They can slap a qualifying offer on him, and then someone will sign him, or they'll just re-sign him, and it's no harm done.
I still feel like they're gonna extend him somehow. Like I don't know. I
I
just
think
can't
he's
see
go
him
I think
anywhere
he's going to
else.
free agency, so he either re-signs or goes
Yeah,
elsewhere.
I think you're right. But I think they'll get him back in free
Yeah,
agency
so
personally.
I say stay put. I don't I think they're in a wild card spot right now. Granted, it's third, and they're technically tied by win percentage with the Padres and Diamondbacks, but I think they're almost too good right now to sell, if that in a backwards way. If
Yeah, no,
they lose, you know, six of their next seven, then maybe, you know, that pushes their or forces their hand. But they're playing well, and you certainly don't want to disrupt that clubhouse even more.
Yeah, and certainly if you just look at them since basically the beginning of May, they're one of the better teams in the National League in terms of win loss. They've had a really bad start. So if they're kind of looking at it from that perspective, they might want to get aggressive buying, but at the same time, I think that next year is really when they want to attack more than this year.
Agreed.
But now headed to the National League Central. This division's crazy. I got four teams listed here because it's anyone's division still. I think the Reds are 10 and a half back, and that's pretty far back, but they're in fifth place and they're only 10 and a half back. Like, it's not completely out of the question. The Brewers are solid, but they've definitely got their flaws as well. So, the Cardinals are in second place. I think that they should buy, but the Cardinals also like to kind of just not do anything. So, I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do, but I think they should buy. What do you think?
The Cardinals will probably buy. They'll probably buy pitching, multiple pitching, you know, probably relievers, but yeah, they'll buy. I'll make it really quick and easy. I think the Cardinals sort of buy and everyone else sells. I think the Pirates sell.
That's exactly what I
I
have as
think the
well.
Reds sell, and I think even the Cubs sell. I think the Cubs will have to really swallow their pride.
That's exactly what I was literally,
Yeah.
you literally stole my entire segment for the
Well, there we
Cubs. I
go.
was going to say pretty much the exact same thing. So good to know that we have one brain cell still. Because yeah, it's like
The Reds
once
were
they
the
didn't do
interesting
anything,
one.
yeah.
If
Yeah,
the
they are
Reds had
interesting. And the
not gotten
Pirates.
swept, then I think maybe there's an argument to see if they could go for it this year. And I love the Pirates. I think they're so much fun, but I think even they realize it's still a year too early. They can be aggressive. Well, we'll see how aggressive is, but they can be aggressive in the off season. But they should sell right now.
I'm 100% with you. You were pretty much spot on where the Pirates would be at this point. I'm pretty sure you said around 500. I'm pretty
Yep.
sure they are either. I think they might be
They're
right
one
at
game over.
500,
They're
one
one
game
game
over
over.
even. Okay, so by record, yeah, you're like maybe they should buy, but I think as just looking at the roster, it would make sense for them to hold or just sell like Chapman if they can get a
Yeah,
something
something
for
like
him.
that.
They'll probably be able to get something for him. You know, some lower key moves. Because they've got a farm system that's extremely good. They've got great young pitching. They're only going to get better as time goes on. They have Brian Reynolds signed for a long time. They got Mitch Keller signed for a long time. Keep Ryan Hayes, who hasn't quite had the year I thought he was going to have, but they have him signed for a long time too. And he's still been a great defender over there. So really excited for the Pirates in the future. Please, ownership for the Pirates, help them in free agency a little bit, okay? Because there's a lot of really young, good young players here, but you still need that extra oomph, you know, to get to that next level. So they're right there. They're a team where when we look at them in the offseason, this offseason, we're going to be like, just add a couple big pieces with free agents, and this team's ready to compete. Because they've really done well this year.
Yeah, they honestly have.
And yeah, but I'm with you. Pretty much everyone else is going to sell in that division. And yeah, the Cubs are going to hate it, but they're going to have to.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the NL West. We've got the D-backs first, who are playing really, really well right now. They've kind of figured some stuff out, looking like they're going to be right in the mix for a wild card spot. I think that they will buy. They have some prospects to work with if they want to get aggressive, but I don't think that they're going to be super aggressive here. I think they're more so going to hope for health, first of all, and also that some of their guys kind of pick it up in the second half, like Corbin Carroll, for example, and Eugenio Suarez, who homered today, because if they can get those guys going, they really don't need that much. And yeah, it's really about pitcher health. They just haven't been able to get these guys on the field. So maybe they will make a move for just pitching depth just to have in case they can't get some of these guys healthy. But overall, they've been pretty good as of late, and I'm expecting them to make the playoffs pretty easily.
You know, sometimes to move forward, you have to go back. And if the Diamondbacks are going to go back, they might as well go back to Patrick Corbin. So, you know,
there's your depth starter. That could
stabilize the rotation. No, I think you hit it on the head. Like, they're going to expect, you know, a guy like Jordan Montgomery to bounce back. They're getting Merrill Kelly back within the next couple weeks. That should help a lot.
Because Gallen just came back as well.
Yeah, Kelly was off to a great start before he got hurt. They'll probably trade for a couple relievers. The offense, even despite Corbin Carroll's struggles, the offense has been pretty good. They're tied for first in the NL and run scored with the Phillies. So that kind of just paints a picture of how good that offense has been, even without their best player being that MVP candidate that we all thought he would be. They'll buy some, but this is a team, they overperformed last year. It was a great story. They backed it up, put their money where their mouth is in the offseason. Love that. I don't think they're going to punt, you know, after half a season.
Yeah,
like they're going to go for it. And I think they should, because I think they the path through the National League, we see this every year, it's not as difficult as I think the regular season makes it look, right? We see a team like kind of mow through the National League almost every single playoffs, like the Nats did in 2019. The, you know, Diamondbacks did it last year. Like the Phillies did it when they went to the World Series against the Astros, whatever year that was. Like, you know, just because the Braves or the Dodgers, like they mow through everyone in the regular season, like it's just getting hot at the right time. And the Diamondbacks are certainly a team capable of doing that. So I think they'll buy, try to bolster, but they'll bank on health more than anything.
Yeah. I think they're in for a pretty nice second half of the season here.
Yeah.
And then the Padres, they're going to buy because that's what the Padres do.
They do.
It doesn't seem to matter what the situation is right now, whether the farm's good, whether the farm's bad, what their free agent contracts are. They're buying. They want to be in the playoffs. I don't know how they're going to do it again, but they'll do it somehow. So I'm assuming that they will be in the buyers category. They were in that playoff spot and they've kind of fallen off in the last couple of weeks. So they'll probably say, well, we clearly need some help. So let's go get some more something. I don't know. They've been making all sorts of moves and they're probably going to continue to do that. So look for them to probably buy.
I think they stay put. I think they're one of those random teams that should do something and does nothing.
Okay. There's going to be one
gut feeling. Yeah. That's just my gut feeling where it's like, maybe they have conversations and the GM will come out and be like, yeah, we kick the tires, just the GM speak. But this feels like the team where they've had so many transactions over the years. This doesn't feel like one of the better teams, even the better teams really underperformed. I don't see them buying and I don't see them selling. So I think they just stay put.
So that's your stay put squad there. I mean, yeah. I think that's That's definitely a good guess for one of the teams that could just maybe do nothing because they've done so many different things and maybe they finally stay put. That's a good point. And then in the Giants, I have them as sellers, but again,
Marginally.
they don't have like that many pieces to sell unless they want to kind of break
And
into
get,
some of those guys that are
I was
going to
gonna
be here
say,
through 26 as well.
yeah, they can get crazy with it if they really wanted to. I don't think they will. I think they'll try to trade like a Michael Conforto,
Yeah,
maybe.
I think so. Yeah, he'll probably get moved.
But that's about it.
Yeah, and because they have guys under contract through next year. Snell, I think, is a player option, but with the way he's pitched this year, there's no way he's going to not take $38.5 million on a player option. So they probably have him for next year. Chapman has an opt out after this year, but he's kind of just having a Matt Chapman season, so he'll probably opt in to the rest of that contract, which would then give him two more
Two
years
more
of
years.
control with an option after that. And then Soler is through 27. So they've got guys signed through then. So they might just sell with what they can for now and try to re-up next year. Because it's really been the pitching, which is what we said all along with this squad since the beginning, is that they didn't do enough with the pitching. And then Snell, we thought might have been the solution, but that's been a debacle trying to get him healthy and then trying to get him to pitch well. So
Yeah, he even said like he was like, I really underappreciated how important spring training is. He
Yeah, and
said he thought he could just come in and do what he's been doing, but this no spring training is like really hurt him. And obviously there's no time in the season to like really ramp up again. So
yeah.
yeah, he kind of screwed himself just
Which is
waiting too
why I
long.
think they're better set up for
Montgomery
next
too.
year. Yeah, because he'll obviously be with the squad throughout spring training, assuming he's healthy. So I would think that they sell what they can sell, but mostly stay put because there's not really much they can do. And I mean, the National League wild card is still right there. So if they get hot, you never know. But
They've certainly done it
yes,
before.
they have.
And we didn't mention the Nationals. It just felt kind of obvious. They already sold once, even though they swept the Reds. I still think they're sellers
Yeah.
going forward. So just a quick
Agreed.
footnote there.
Agreed for sure.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, so now we're going to kind of like pivot slightly, and we're going to talk about all of the kind of teams that we think will sell, the obvious sellers and the kind of the borderline teams. And we're just going to identify at least one, maybe a couple of, interesting prospects or sorry, interesting players that they could sell in exchange for prospects. So just really quick, we'll start in the National League since that's where we just touched on working bottom to top. Marlins. That we talked about already, Jazz Chisholm seems like he's definitely going to get moved. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that he will get moved, and his key is going to be how much value does he have? Because everyone kind of knows Jazz is this, larger than life personality, superstar
They
per
voted him the most
se,
overrated player in the league.
because the stats don't really back up how much hype he gets.
Yeah,
He's good.
for the record, Bryce Harper was nominated the most overrated player in the league several years. So
Yeah, so come
we're
on. I
aware
mean,
that's worth. Yeah.
it's not like baseball players watch every game like we do
Right,
anyways. So
exactly.
yeah, so yeah, it's just gonna depend on what value teams perceive him as having. I think he is a perfect change of scenery guy, and I think there's a couple guys on the Marlins that are like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like if a team says we think he'll be better here, that they might, fork over a big prospect for him. So definitely a guy to watch out for here at this deadline.
I think he's gone. There's been a lot of rumors with him to the Yankees in particular, because
That would be wild.
he can play second. He can obviously play outfield, which is what he's, primarily been playing. So I think he's gone. And then the other player who was an all-star and honestly has been really good is Tanner Scott. He's gone. He's
100%
gone.
Yeah, that's 100. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
He's going to be a great pickup for a contending team. All right, next team, the Rockies. This one's tough because it's like they don't have that one, okay, teams are going to want this piece because, like, you know, Tovar and McMahon, they're under contract for a while. So I don't think they're going to be super selly. And they're that team that, like, makes no sense with how they operate. Like, they should have sold last year, didn't. They make no sense. Or wasn't – whenever the Trevor Story year was.
Should have traded him. Signed Bryant weirdly.
And then they let Story go for nothing. Yeah, it was very bizarre. Anyone on the Rockies that really interests you?
Besides Cal Quantrill, not really. But he's definitely a guy. He'll get moved. He's had a pretty good year.
Especially considering Coors. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So he'll be a good depth pickup for a squad, like a number four type guy on a playoff rotation.
Yeah, maybe like the Diamondbacks. I could see that
at interdivision, but then again, the Rockies don't really care. Nobody cares about the Rockies in terms of rivalry.
they have to be good in order to be rivals.
Yeah.
All right. Next team is the Nats. Kind of already alluded to it. Bias aside, like just being objective, the Nats have several pieces that I think are going to be very like attractive to contending teams. They've already traded Hunter Harvey, who is a very attractive piece. Obviously, the Royals scooped him up. Kyle Finnegan just recorded 3 saves in a single series and looked really good doing it. It wasn't stressful at all.
That's the thing. They needed that deadline.
The All-Star break helped him a lot. He has a year and a half control, but so did Hunter Harvey. So if the offer is right, they'll move him. Jesse Winker, just a complete bounce back campaign. They would be dumb not to move him. Dylan Floro has been super solid. Doesn't have like eighth or ninth inning work this year, but certainly could do that if a team needed like a closer or a high leverage guy. He's been great. And then Lane Thomas, who we mentioned earlier, had some buzz last year. They opted to keep him. This year, probably not as much buzz, but it's almost kind of solidified who he is as a player. He matches lefties. He's not great against righties. He has a strong arm, but kind of sucks in the outfield. Like, you know, if the Nats kind of lower their asking price to a much more reasonable ballpark, a deal will get done. And I fully expect, granted, this is, you know, venturing into our Nats talk that we'll do on our District Nats episode. I fully expect to see Dylan Cruz in August. James Wood just hit a game-winning home run today. Jacob Young's playing phenomenally in center field. Offense leaves plenty to be desired, but his defense and his base running are great. So point being, they need to clear an outfield spot. Best way to do that without like hurting, you know, the team's future or whatever, just creating a logjam, is to trade a guy. So I expect Lane Thomas to be gone. But again, they already traded Harvey. If they trade, you know, Winker and Floro as they should, you might as well just trade whatever you can.
Yeah. And also, it seems like contending teams are really strapped for corner outfield bats right now. So there's definitely a market for Lane.
It's probably a little bit
boosted just because of that.
It's not great, but he could play center too. Like he has the athleticism.
Arguably, he's a better center fielder than right fielder. So it's definitely something there.
Yeah.
But the Nats definitely have pieces for sure.
Yeah. All right. The Reds, we kind of marked them as sellers. I think Frankie Montas is definitely gone. Anyone else? We both agree India stays for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, the only one that really makes sense is Montas. He's on a one-year deal. They signed him with the intention of probably moving him. Mm-hmm. So he should get traded. He's been pretty solid for them.
Yeah, agreed. Cubs, this is a really interesting one because it's like, how far do they go? First of all, do they sell at all? But like, how far do they sell? What are your thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have much to sell. We listed Hector Neris, who obviously every team is looking for bullpen help.
Yeah, and he has closing experience.
He had good playoff moments for the Astros as well, so teams will remember that. And then it's Bellinger, and it's just kind of like, what do you do? Because he's got a weird contract. I'm pretty sure it's an opt-out after this year with two more years after. He's not playing poorly. He's been solid, but he's probably not playing good enough to where you know he's going to opt out. Like,
yeah,
he is kind of on the fence of, like, will he opt in, will he opt out with his performance? So the Cubs obviously will probably have a better idea of what he wants to do. So if he is a 100% going to opt out after this, maybe you go ahead and trade him. But if he's going to stay opted in, then you don't move him. You probably just keep him, and then either you probably keep him and hope that he has a year like last year, and then you trade him. But I'm assuming that he's probably going to opt into that deal considering where his performance is right now.
Yeah. I would agree. I have a really fun, call prediction. Imagine Cody Bellinger reunion with the Dodgers.
That would be, that'd be a little awkward.
They kind of need outfield help. So
they definitely do. They definitely do. Like, again, another team that needs corner outfield help.
They're not going to care about the contract.
Yeah, definitely not.
It's nothing to them, so.
That would be crazy.
Just food for thought. Speaking of NLS Giants, we kind of talked about that and their kind of lack of pieces to really move that would move the needle if they sell at all. Do you think they sell?
Yeah, I want to talk Yastrzemski real quick because he has – a year and a half of control, but he's also 33. So I don't know if they're really caring about that other year of control, really. He's been solid. And like I said, again, teams need outfielders right now. He's a piece to watch out for just to, like, see if teams are interested in picking him up for a playoff run.
Yeah, agreed. Moving on to – so the Pirates we didn't list initially because they were over 500, and our qualification for this kind of discussion was teams under 500. But you and I both just said we think the Pirates sell. Is there anyone off the top of your head that really jumps out of you as, like, a person they could sell? Because to me, I think Martin Perez is one, but beyond that, I don't see some – I don't think they trade McCutcheon.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, it seems like they'll do the Kershaw thing with the Dodgers where it's like 1 year deals until he retires.
Yeah, I think you're right with McCutcheon. Chapman probably gets moved. Again, lefty with stuff is probably gonna have a suitor at the deadline regardless. His numbers are okay, but like no team is even caring what the numbers say.
He's throwing 103.
Can still throw 103. That's what they care about.
Yeah.
And then maybe Marco Gonzalez, he just came off the injured list, depth starter, potentially as a guy that could eat innings for a team. But yeah, that's like a very low key piece.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's move on to the AL. And I'm actually going to go reverse and start at the top and work our way down because I think the most interesting conversation surrounds the White Sox. So we'll start at the top. The Rays, we kind of just talked about it, like, They might sell, but I don't think it's going to be as much as people think. So we'll go to the Tigers, who are two games under 500 right now. I mentioned Flaherty earlier. I think that's the big one. Is there anyone else that jumps out to you as a person that could be moved?
No, I really think Flaherty is kind of the only big name that they should consider moving. Because we think that I'm sticking by this. I really think that they are going to be good next year if they attack free agency properly and all that, obviously. So the core that they have, besides, you know, obviously Torkelson underperforming, seems like a pretty solid group. Flaherty on a one-year deal is one of the better pitchers on the market, I would say. He's going to have a pretty good offer considering what his stuff specifically has looked like this year. He's been a strikeout machine,
especially so, if Crochet and Skubal don't get moved.
Yeah, definitely, because Flaherty is Crochet is probably the guy on the market right now, but Flaherty is probably right behind him in terms of skill and talent level. So
in terms of this year, like impact,
yeah, this season, absolutely. Yeah. So he's gonna get some good offers, and that's probably the only main piece that they're gonna sell.
Yep. Agreed. The Rangers, we talked about earlier, I'm fully in the boat that Lorenzen and Yates get moved. You mentioned an interesting one earlier before we started recording. You want to talk about it?
Nate Eovaldi. He has a vesting option, and it seems like he probably won't reach that vesting option. It's a 300 innings limit, or he needed to get 2 300 innings in 2023 and 2024 combined. If he made every start, he might get there, but odds are he probably won't. So the Rangers probably are looking at him as an expiring contract this year. And if that's the case, they should probably trade him.
Yep.
Because he's had a really good year. He's once again having a good season. And I mean, come on, we know what he's like in the playoffs. So yeah,
exactly.
His value is going to be higher just for that. But also he's had a good year. So again, I think he has a chance to get moved if they do get aggressive selling at the deadline.
All right. I have another fun one. You ready for this?
Okay. All right.
Nate Eovaldi to the Orioles.
That's sick. Because
Orioles, team that could use another flamethrower. They have good pitching, but they could use another one. And they want a guy with playoff experience. Arguably no one better than Eovaldi.
Yeah, that would be a great fit because the Orioles, pretty much all the Orioles need is another starter.
Just one more.
Pretty much. Yeah. I feel
Burns
like
Burns locked and loaded. Grayson Rodriguez has been great. They just need one more.
Have that three-headed monster. Yeah. So that could be an interesting choice. Watch out for him at the deadline. I really do think he gets moved if the Rangers do go into sell mode.
Yep, that's a good call. All right, Blue Jays, we talked about earlier. Jansen, Kikuchi, kind of seem like they're gone. Maybe Bassett. Anyone else worth mentioning?
Nope. Bassett was the only other guy that like has a chance, but even then, I don't really think teams are going to make a move for him.
Age,
yeah,
kind of iffy. All right, moving on to the Angels. This one, like low key, they sneaky have a couple of guys that you know, if they want to trade them all, I think it'd be smart considering how big of a miss last year's deadline was for them buying inexplicably. Granted, at the time I said I loved it.
It was fun.
Because I like teams going for it, you know, sue me. They have a couple of guys. Carlos Estevez, I think can get moved. Tyler Anderson, who's having a career year and is out of nowhere. I think he needs to get moved if you're the Angels. Brandon Drury is another one. I think the Angels kind of hold a lot of pieces at this year's deadline. But who knows? Maybe they buy again.
You never really can tell with them, huh? Yeah, Anderson's very interesting because he's had a fantastic year, but the underlying statistics don't love him yet. There's certain parts of his season this year that are very similar to his season as a Dodger, where he kind of had that breakout first All-Star season. Not allowing a ton of base runners, and not allowing a ton of hits. The thing about Anderson that's always going to hurt him is that he doesn't strike anybody out. So it's just how do teams view his value is kind of what I'm saying. Because like the ERA and the innings are great, but teams obviously when they're trying to predict, they might not be looking at that. But I still think he does have some good value just because. Even if he doesn't perform at this level for a team, he can still be a depth starter. He can still eat some innings for you. He can give you a long relieving option in the bullpen for the playoffs. So he will have value regardless. Just depends on how much.
Yep, agreed. All right, the next two are very clear as day sellers. Let's just preface with that. It's interesting, though, nonetheless, because they have pieces, both the A's and White Sox respectively, that in theory could be parts of their next good teams. In theory, the timelines may not match up, but they're really good players now. It's just how long are the respective teams going to hold on to them, or are they going to hold on to them at all? So starting with the A's, Brent Rooker is having a hell of a year. That no one's talking about. The A's, even though the record is not great, if they get some pitching, and I don't know what their farm system looks like in terms of arms, if they get some pitching, this is a team that, like, I'm not going to say they're going to be in the playoffs like next year or the next 2 years, but they could be like the Tigers where they're just constantly hovering around 500. I kind of see what they're doing. Granted, the A's, it's hard to really justify a lot of what they do. That being said, I can't see them trading Brent Rooker or Mason Miller for that matter. They both have too much control. They're both key parts to that team. I just can't see it happening.
See, with any other team that operates normally, I would agree. 100%. Even now, Miller, just don't. A's, just keep him. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Rooker is... I wouldn't trade him, obviously, if it was my choice. But if your outlook on Rooker is we want to eventually maximize his value and get whatever we can,
won't ever be higher than it is now. Probably not
a time where it's been higher than it is right now. He's got like 3.5 years of control, and he has like a 170 WRC plus or something.
OPS is like above 900.
He's like a top 10 hitter in
baseball. A year where the MLB average is like below 700.
Yeah, absolutely, and he also is streaky as hell. So, I mean, if he gets hot down the stretch for your team, he can make the playoffs for you.
Yeah, he has an outside shot at 40 home runs this year.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. And that's playing in the Coliseum.
Yep.
So he has immense value, but at the same time, he has so much control. I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to move him and try and get a huge haul in return and try and do it that way just because – that seems to be how they operate. But I hope they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. They need to do something though, but like their two biggest pieces, I'm telling them not to. So it's kind of like backwards, but it's not my
team. Well, again, if they operated normally and signed free agents, then you would sign some free agents to help out with this young group. There's guys here that are good.
Yeah.
Rooker's one, but JJ Bleday is another guy who's been really good for them this year. He could get traded, I guess, but again, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
With the amount of control, but you just never know with them.
Yeah. All right. The last team is the White Sox. We know they're going to sell. That much is clear. Fetty's gone. We'll start there. Yeah. Fetty's gone. They need to trade him.
I would look at Fetty as a potential landing spot for the Cardinals or maybe the Diamondbacks if they can't get fully healthy.
Yeah, he has a year and a half of control, so he'll command a little bit more.
Good signing, by the way. They're going to get good stuff for him. He's had a good year.
Yeah, KBO, Cy Young. Luis Robert would probably be the next one. It sort of seems like he's going to get moved at this point. I would say more yes than no. Probably like 70-30, yes, he's going to get moved. What do you think on Robert?
The thing is, if he was having hit the season from last year that he had this year, I think it would be a no-brainer. I think you'd move him because his value would be so high. And at this point where the White Sox are, it does make sense to trade guys with multiple years of control because they're not going to be back to contending in 3 years. They're going to need 5 to 7 years.
Yep.
So I think it just depends on the offer. If you get a team to jump and overpay for Robert because they think they can get that form from last year out of him, which by the way, he's been hitting a lot better as of recent.
Yeah. Since he's gotten back from injury, he's been.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. So, it's going to depend on the offer because he has 2.5 years of control. If a team gets aggressive, then I would think that the White Sox do move him. Same with Crochet. It's kind of a similar idea with him. But I think he's probably even more sought after because of just starting pitchers being such a big deal for the playoffs. So they'll probably get a good enough offer for him to move him.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with Crochet. He's by far and away the best arm available. It's not like he's on a middling team. Like it's not like he's on the, you know, Blue Jays or Angels where it's like they're struggling this year, but you see. Maybe not the Angels, but you see the path back to contention.
Yeah, he's not. He happens to be on one of the worst teams ever.
Ever. Right. So like you talked about like it makes sense for them to trade him. And like he's a former reliever. So he's going to be, you know, at some point this season, you're going to need to think about his innings limit. And that's that's tough. But anyways, like you're going to need to maximize his deal and just let some other team, you know, worry about that.
Yeah, exactly, so
I think he gets moved. I just don't know who ponies up for them. It sounds so funny, but they have the means to do it. The Padres sort of like make a lot of sense. I know they just traded for Dylan Cease,
Hey, they love to trade with the White Sox.
Yeah, but it sort of makes sense for them. Certainly the Dodgers could do it. Certainly the Orioles could do it if they really wanted to. The Orioles are interesting, and we'll
The
talk
Orioles can do
about
whatever the hell they want because they
right.
have
That's
so
what's
many great
interesting. It's
prospects.
just like, they're at the point where they can start selling off the farm, but it's like
And still be okay. That's the thing.
how like I saw some Jackson Holliday for Targ Skubal talk, and I'm like, oh, that's spicy.
That's a juicy trade.
I love that. So yeah, I think the White Sox get an offer for Crochet they can't refuse. I just don't know who does it. I don't have a prediction in that regard, but I do think Crochet gets moved.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there.
Yep.
The White Sox have to re try to replenish their farm. They have
Yeah.
to. So this is the way to do it.
Absolutely. All right. This has already been a longer episode, but it's a great episode. Trade deadline talk is always my favorite. To wrap it up, we're just going to go through the contenders now. One thing, if they make one trade, what should it be? We'll start with the AL, starting with the Orioles. One trade, what should they be?
Starting pitcher. Any starting pitcher, any top, like
Bona
a
fide.
good starting pitcher.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
like
Bona fide starting pitcher, Nate Eovaldi, I think it makes a lot of sense. If it's
Eric
not like a,
Crochet.
yeah, if it's not a Crochet or someone to
Yeah.
that level.
I mean, Crochet would be that would automatically make them the favorites. So they have the prospects. Kobe Mayo is a guy they have. I don't know if they want to deal him, but like pretty Kobe Mayo, if they go
Heston,
for
I don't know how you pronounce his last name.
Kerstad, yeah, he's been
Kerstad.
good. And then they've got Samuel Bisalo, who hasn't even come up yet. He's really good. So they got guys.
And
They
he's
can
blocked because he's a catcher.
exactly. Look for it would make sense for them to be aggressive on a starter this time.
Guardians, if they make one trade, what should it be?
For the Guardians, I had two, but if I had to pick one, I'll go starting pitcher. Because their offense has been pretty damn good, and I had corner outfield listed because they haven't quite gotten a lot from their outfield, but like it also hasn't been terrible. They have some prospects that might be good for their outfield, so I'll go starting pitcher because I mean, they don't even have Shane Bieber. I feel like he was hurt so early in the year. He was supposed to be a big part of that, so I'll go starting pitcher for that. Pretty much everybody needs a starter, but like an again, like a top of the line starter that can be a solid two or three,
For
or
me,
even a one.
I actually did the other thing. I think they should get like maybe the pitching market is just so much more plentiful that they prefer to that, but I think they need another bat. Not because they need it, like the numbers say they need it, but more so they just need a guy. They have Jose Ramirez, certainly, and they have guys that are having great seasons like Stephen Kwan, David Fry, but they need a guy, and obviously those are few and far between. And I don't know what how strict the White Sox are, but like a Luis Robert, that would be cool for the Guardians. Just like
I know. You'd
try
love
to
to see one of those like mid-tier like payroll teams get aggressive here and try and like make something
Exactly.
happen for trades. So
Try
I
to
that would be sweet.
surround Ramirez, but yeah. All right, the Astros, what are they? One trade.
Astros one trade. Probably honestly, I'm gonna go. I mean, starter obviously, but I'm gonna go reliever. I think they still need bullpen help. It hasn't been pretty this
Hader has not
year.
been great, yeah.
Still hasn't been great. Abreu's kind of gotten it going, but he's still, it's again, none of them have been elite to the where they need to be. I think they need to go get another bullpen piece. That could honestly be an Aroldis Chapman. I could totally see Chapman joining the Astros. They've got the pit, they know how to develop guys with high velocity. Obviously, he doesn't really need development, but they can help him, find that consistency like what happened last year when he got traded to the Rangers. So look for them to be getting a bullpen arm, a really solid one.
Yeah, that's where I'm at as well. And that takes me to the Yankees, which I also think they need a bullpen arm. And I also think not as fun, but more fun because we're Nats fans. Kyle Finnegan makes a lot of sense. Kyle Finnegan and possibly Lane Thomas. I mean, I know two of their outfield spots are already spoken for, and very much so in a good way, like with Judge and Soto. But I would say Kyle Finnegan really helps solidify that bullpen.
For me, I think the most important thing is a top of the order bat for the Yankees. Ben Rice has done well in that one
Lane
spot, but
Thomas.
I, hey, they could be one. I was thinking a Jazz Chisholm or a Jonathan India if they do get aggressive. Unfortunately for the Yankees and their fans, they tend to prospect hug a little too hard. So they gotta break out of that and start making something happen. Because again, this is a team that has a lot of really good pieces, and they had a great start to the season. But the lack of depth in their offense has hurt. They've got two of the best hitters on the planet, and then almost nothing else. I think a guy to put in that leadoff spot right in front of them is a perfect thing for them to be looking to do.
Yep. Twins. Anything? Like,
I'm not sure
they can improve. I think they need to improve, and that's kind of a cop out answer. But I don't even know if they buy, but they need to improve their team.
Yeah, they should probably get a starter.
Yeah,
because that's been their weakest point. Their offense has been pretty damn good. I don't really think they need a ton there. Bullpen is solid. So yeah, probably a starter if they can get one. But I'm not, even if they do, I don't think they'll go for an ace starter. They'll probably go for a depth starter.
Yeah.
And just try to ride it out.
Yeah. Because
they'll probably still make the playoffs.
Yeah. All right. The Royals, they already had a reliever. What else?
I think I really like this team, honestly. If they can get all their guys going, because they're pretty balanced overall. The starters have been. I mean, maybe a starter, just because Ragans hasn't quite been the ace everyone thought. He's been good, but like he hasn't been like the number one. So I don't know. Maybe you go and get a starter, but probably just like a couple depth bats to help out the offense a little bit. I don't see them. Because they don't have much in their farm. I can't see them making a huge splash move, but just some extra depth potential, like, I don't know, maybe, again, like a Lane Thomas or something like an outfield bat. But I actually really like where they're at right now.
Yep. Red Sox, what do you think?
Probably, again, they need a first baseman. Casas being injured kind of ruined their plans there. They have Dom Smith playing there. He's doing Dom Smith things, so not that great. So probably a corner bat for them as well. Their pitching has been really good, definitely overperformed.
Yeah,
they've found something there with their pitching development. Bullpen's been solid. So probably some more offense there.
Yeah, I would just say a power bat. And speaking of power bats, the Mariners, whatever bats are available, need to go to Seattle.
Literally any bat you can get.
Immediately.
Again, Luis Roberts, another play there as well.
Yeah, 100%. Phillies, kind of an interesting one. I don't know that they need a ton, but it kind of seems silly for them to not do anything.
So yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Reliever. I'll just cop out. Yeah.
Bullpen, maybe a depth starter to fill in the fifth spot. And I, you know, where their contract situation is with Castellanos kind of makes this a moot point, but I was saying another corner outfield bat, that's kind of their weakest spot is him. But they're not, it's not a huge contract for 3 more years. So I can't see them making any change there.
Yeah. All right. Next team, we've got the Dodgers. It seems silly considering they're like one run back of the most runs in the National League. I would say another bat, probably an outfielder, as I mentioned earlier and kind of joked with the Cody Bellinger thing. It seems like they could use another bat until, you know, just keep them afloat till Mookie gets back. Because even though they have a plus 92 run differential, it sounds silly. Like, they're just not as intimidating as other Dodger teams that we've seen recently. So
yeah, well, they went on a stretch too where they were like 500 for like 2 months almost. So it's like, yeah, they're not perfect here. So they definitely need some help. I probably would have agreed with you until Yamamoto got hurt. And now I think they need a starter.
Yeah,
most of all. But yeah, I do agree. I think another bat is something that they would look at, and they'll probably get both of them because of the Dodgers, and that's what they do.
Yeah, Glasnow is coming back from injury. Kershaw is making his first start of the year, so we'll see. But there might not be enough time. They might err on the side of caution and get another arm, anyways. The Brewers, another interesting team that's
pitching
much better, pitching. But yeah. They're in the Twins territory. They need to prove their team however they can.
I tell you what, I was looking at their pitching stats, and it's kind of, I'm just kind of mind blown that they've managed to put this together and be this good with this pitching staff. I mean, they've used so many pitchers.
Yep.
And they have used them in all different ways. But they don't have a guy at the top of that rotation who can shut it down. They had him. His name is Corbin Burns. Obviously, they moved him, which we kind of all agree that made sense at the time. Mm-hmm. But they need. I mean, Freddy Peralta is good, but he hasn't been the ace that they were hoping that he would be. They need another guy at the top of that rotation if they want to go for it. Now, I'm not sure how much they want to go for it. I think that they might be content just getting in. Because considering the expectations, but they definitely, if they want to go for it, they need pitching help big time.
Yeah.
Offense has been great, so pretty good on that front, but pitching help big time.
Yeah, the wild card teams in the NL are pretty straightforward. Braves need offense, probably outfield, maybe a second baseman to keep them afloat while Ozzy Albies is out. Cardinals pitching, either starting or relieving. The Mets, we don't really consider buyers, but you never know. The Diamondbacks pitching, either starting or relieving, probably the starting kind. And then the Padres, same thing, pitching, either starting or the relieving kind. Do you disagree anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, if the Mets were going to buy, I'd say that they would also need starting pitching.
Yeah,
that would be the only thing. It's, again, seems like, especially in the National League, in the middle of that pack, there's been a lot of pitching injuries and teams are just like kind of one or two pitchers short of where they thought they'd be at this point in the year. So everyone kind of needs it.
Yep. 100%. So this will be the last episode that comes out before the deadline. I think a fun way, I've been kind of sprinkling them throughout. Who's the biggest name that gets traded at the deadline and where does he go?
I think the biggest name that gets moved is Garrett Crochet. Mm-hmm. And I would absolutely love to see him on the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, that. I mean, that's,
I think it makes a lot of sense for them to do that.
Yeah, that's the easy one. But it's also the one that makes the most sense as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers obviously they're in play for him, but that's boring. So let's go to the Orioles.
it makes sense.
Honestly, any move with him is going to be big time. So, but yeah, I think he gets moved.
Yeah. All right. So that one makes a lot of sense. I'll pivot and go to his teammate, Luis Robert, gets traded, and he gets traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Ah, boring. Boo.
I know, but
Cause they need outfield help. It makes sense. They love to make the big splash.
Yeah.
It would fit.
They're clearly going for it. Not that the Dodgers ever aren't.
Yeah, exactly.
they want to put the Mickey Mouse, you know, allegations to rest. They want to win
for all.
Yeah, they want to win a real one. So
yeah,
they're going to do whatever needs to be done. And I think Luis Robert, especially if they miss out on Crochet, like let's say the Orioles outbid them, they're going to pivot and just get Robert with the kind of similar framework of whatever deal they're trying to get Crochet. I mean, shit, they might trade for both. Yeah, like, let's be real.
Yeah, they want at least one big move.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. All right, that does it for this episode. Again, a little bit of a longer episode, but we wanted to make sure to cover everything. But in the meantime, right, there's going to be a lot more to be covered as we approach the trade deadline next week. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DistrictBSB and subscribe to us on YouTube at District Baseball. Make sure you hit the bell to get all of the latest videos, shorts, full episode clips, and everything in between. Follow us on TikTok at District Baseball. Trey at, and not on TikTok, on Twitter. Trey at Reverse2R2S is myself and Coach Moose. We appreciate you listening. And in the meantime, let's go baseball.
Peace.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.